Flint adjusted his earpiece. He heard only the expected silence from inside the residence. Ashton and his companions didn't routinely gather in the common rooms until after 9 o'clock. Flint raised his binoculars to check the sensitive listening device he had propelled with an illegal air pistol from his position atop a tourist bus 2 days ago. He confirmed that the device remained glued to the top floor window. He checked his pockets. He felt the remote control and the small crowbar resting against his sides where he'd placed them. The pistol snugged into his belt at the flat center of his back looked lethal enough at a glance, which was all the inspection time he planned to allow. The puny thing was one of the few remaining legal weapons in Britain, only because it had no stopping power. Ashton might not recognize the gun as worthless, but his security detail would if they got a close enough look. Flint picked up a crossbow fitted with a serrated dart, designed to embed itself into wood. The dart was secured to high-strength wire. He'd secured the wire to the tower crane. A leggy, lithe brunette crossed the square, chattering away on her cell phone. 2 nights ago, Flint had followed her to a bar, where she bent his ear for an hour. She was broke and only too happy to carry his message for the right price. He checked his watch. Exactly 8:28. He'd paid the right price and she was right on time. He'd promised her a generous bonus when she completed the job, and her eyes lit up like sparklers. He nodded as if she could see his approval from that distance. She crossed the road, made her way between rows of security barriers, and entered the large concrete building that occupied the entire western edge of the square. The American Embassy. The message she carried was simple. He'd instructed her to say that Ashton would be surrendering himself into custody. She would also mention that the authorities might have to turn a blind eye to the manner in which Ashton actually surrendered. Flint had supplied her with enough details to interest law enforcement on both sides of the Atlantic, but she would reveal those details only after Ashton signed the necessary documents, which Flint carried in his pocket, relinquishing all legal claims to the French woman's painting. Flint's gaze returned to the postman, who had now reached Ashton's residence. He climbed the steps. He pushed a bundle of mail and a small yellow envelope through Ashton's letterbox. The postman descended the stairs and moved on toward the next house. Flint moved his tongue over his teeth and pulled the remote from his pocket. He counted slowly to 10, giving the postman time to move a safe distance away and the security detail time to retrieve the envelope. At precisely 8:45 a.m., Flint pushed the button on the remote. He imagined the yellow package expanding exactly as it had during his tests. The edges of the package would burst, and almost invisible dust would spray out, covering everyone within a 10-foot radius. Only it wasn't just dust. It was mucuna pruriens, an itching powder so incredibly powerful that the plant from which it was derived was known as the devil bean in Nigeria. There was enough powder to disable the security detail for the length of time Flint would need, longer if they tried to wash the powder off with water. Flint fired the crossbow at the solid wood center of Ashton's rooftop garden. The dart landed squarely as aimed, taking the long wire to its destination. He tested the wire with his full weight, and the dart held. Flint clipped himself on and ziplined straight to the flat rooftop. He pulled the crowbar from his jacket and pried open the door that led from the roof to the interior of the penthouse. He headed straight for the stairs, pulling the pistol from his belt as he ran. He'd estimated 60 seconds to find Ashton, collect his signature, and then convince him to walk down 5 flights of stairs, across 600 feet of the most expensive real estate in London, step onto American soil, and capitulate. No problem, right? Flint reached the top floor of the penthouse apartment. The floor plans he'd studied showed the kitchen at the base of the rooftop stairs. The remaining 2,000 square feet on the top floor was an open floor plan with breathtaking views of Mayfair. The spiral staircase in the center led down to bedrooms on the floor below. Flint barely noticed the stunning views as he passed down through the 6th floor and entered the master suite directly below on the 5th floor. He stopped outside the massive door to the master suite for a quick breath. He raised the gun to shooting position. He silently pushed the door open and stepped inside. A quick scan of the enormous bedroom revealed an exceptionally high king-size bed against one wall. Sheets mussed, pillows tossed. Except for a snoring short-legged Welsh corgi, the bed was empty. The house had no exit, secret or otherwise, that Flint had failed to monitor, so Ashton was somewhere inside.